maps. Pinball and maps. Mapping around with Scott and Ryan.
Okay, well, welcome back, Ryan. Another episode.
Hey, Scott. Episode 9.
Episode 9. No one thought we'd make it to 9.
Yeah, we had all these people that were like, you'd never make it past 6. And here we are.
Yeah. Why is it so hard to be consistent about making a podcast, but the pinball map is fairly consistently updated as far as the code and composition goes?
I don't know.
It's a rhetorical question, I guess. Yeah,
then I won't answer it.
Great. So what's been, well, before we get into the pinball stuff, what's been going on with you, Ryan?
I am trying to get back into jogging a little more. Ran for 4 miles today.
What kind of running shoes are you putting on out there?
Oh, you know what? I don't even remember the brand. They're blue. They're kind of a little bit flatter. I don't know. I actually looked at them today because I couldn't remember. And I was like, what brand are these? But they don't say it anywhere on them. So I don't know. Well, that'll be for episode 10. Follow up.
Okay, yeah. I would like to follow up on that. I feel like it's pretty important.
Yeah, I did a lot of research, but it's some brand that I don't totally... It's not Nike, and it's not Reebok, and it's not New Balance, and it's not Hoka. It's not those ones.
People just wear those Hoka ones, even when they're not running.
Yeah, I'm kind of like, jealous. They look very nice.
You like those?
I wouldn't say they look nice. They look comfy.
Here's my problem with just wearing them. Like, it seems like the branding is just the name of the shoe, Hoka, really big on the side. I don't like that. Like, give me a swoosh or something.
Yeah, a simple swoosh. Or no name or no logo at all, like my shoes have.
Are a lot of people in LA wearing those, what are those called? On shoes? You know those?
Yeah, I don't think so. What do they look like? No. Are they?
I don't know. They look like kind of like future-y shoes. I was trying to decide what my new shoe, what my new shoe brand of choice would be. And I was debating getting those because they look okay. Mm-hmm. But then somebody said, oh, those are the kind of shoes that Dr. Jill Biden wears. And I was like, well, that's kind of cool, but maybe not for me. What's going on with the old pinball map?
Website-wise, app-wise, there's been no app updates since the last podcast. Website-wise, the big one is we eclipsed 10,000 locations on pinball map.
10,000.
Yep. In the year 10,000. and, you know, so that's like 15 years of growth right there. 10,000 is kind of a staggering number to me. It's just...
That's a lot.
Yeah, it's a huge amount. I think one thing that's interesting is I estimate we add like 50 to 60 new locations a week, but then we remove about 20 to 30 a week. So it's, you know, we go forward and then back every week.
And this is still primarily North America, right? Like, I know there's some European stuff, some Australian stuff, which is awesome, but far from comprehensive, right?
Yeah, but definitely centered around North America. We're in something like 62 different countries, but a lot of those countries just have a couple locations. Most everything is in the U.S. and Canada, but we get a ton of growth lately in Europe, in France, and Austria, and other countries around there. Like every day, I wake up and there's a couple submissions from those countries. So they're becoming more aware of it and they're submitting a lot more. So it's building up there.
What about South America, man? Think about how big South America is. There's got to be pinball machines down there. I mean, sorry, I don't mean to be a downer. 10,000 locations is amazing. But We got to get the whole world.
Yeah, I mean, it's spreading, though. We had one from Buenos Aires last week. Clark Flipper E Arcades. Clark, C-L-A-R-C-K. So in a cool arcade with like 8 machines or something like that.
Okay.
And another place, Social Club Arcade. Someone from Buenos Aires, yeah, they added six locations in one day. So, you know, you kind of get spurts like that, like an operator or somebody like that discovers the site, submits all their places. So even in yonder South America, it's building.
You know who's from Buenos Aires, right?
Who is?
Do you know who is?
Oh. I don't know who's from there.
Johnny Rico. Johnny Rico. Yeah. All right. Just forget it. All right.
Now I know that, I guess. I'll store that away in my pocket. And,
yeah, Johnny Rico. There's the Starship Troopers pinball machine. This is relevant. All right, anyway, let's move on.
Okay, moving on. Thanks, everybody, for submitting all your locations. Okay, moving on. One thing we forgot to mention last podcast episode was just a small note that we were, maybe some people know the site Hacker News on the Y Combinator website. And anyway, someone posted, I don't know who, they posted a link to Pinball Map on there, which means that we get a lot of attention when that happens. And that's not something I look forward to. I don't know if you like being on Hacker News, but, you know, getting attention just means like people critiquing things and people flooding the site until it goes down or something like that. Like, who cares? It's like, it's not that fun. But luckily Hacker News also is like, it, you know, it's just a message board and people have a tendency just to divert from the main topic immediately and start talking about tangential things. And that's essentially what happened there. And so barely anyone was talking about the site itself. People were just talking about pinball, which is, I think, better in my opinion.
The thing that I always get excited about when it pops up on Hacker News is the like secondary tweets or whatever's that come out of it. That's always exciting. Like David Reese. You know David Reese? Get Your War On? Quants. Yeah. He did Quants, right? I think he did that. He mentioned it on his podcast. Oh, yeah. And I think he mentioned it there because he had seen it recently on Hacker News. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think that stuff's cool.
Yeah, you're right. That is cool. All of a sudden it gets a lot of people's attention and it kind of blossoms from there.
Yeah. All right.
One thing I want to mention about that is like, you know, we pay for some hosting type stuff with, you know, such as the map tiles that we show on the site, and you get a limit for free, 50,000 views or whatever they count as a view, 50,000 unique loads, per user per day, or I'm not saying that right, but one load is one user per day using the site, and they give you a free tier of 50,000. What happens is that we just like go way over that in this case. And we had, I think, a $120 surprise bill in February, which I got down to zero by asking them politely if they could make it zero. And they did, which was really nice of them. But all that leads to, you know, not using Mapbox where there's this dynamic pricing scheme. I'd rather just go back to hosting tiles ourselves, and I think there'll be no real impact to the end user if once we could kind of figure that out, but we've been very slowly doing it. Mapbox gave us 3 months free, so we're almost to the end of month three, so we need to figure it out, or else what kind of happened is like after February where we had to pay that much, it's continued to be over the tier every single month, so we have to pay every month.
Do you remember when Wendy's tried to introduce dynamic pricing?
Yeah. Wasn't that like a couple weeks ago?
I thought that was a couple months ago and it already failed.
Oh.
Am I wrong?
Yeah, maybe.
Okay.
Like surge pricing type of thing.
Like surge pricing at Wendy's, yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, that seems like a bad idea. People just want, you know, especially if they're buying food and it's kind of a habitual thing, they want consistency. They want to know what to expect.
Did you say it was per user per day? That's how it works?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They count like what, cookies? How are they even tracking that?
Yeah, I think it might be a special type of cookie. They basically say though, if you have it open in a tab and you load the site and you do whatever you want on the site after that for the entire day, that counts as one load. If you then open it in a new tab, that would be a new load. So
interesting.
Yeah. Which, you know, one thing to note about all this is every map tile host measures a load differently from each other. And, you know, there's Here Maps and Apple Maps. They offer a service, Google Maps, of course, Mapbox. And they try to compare them with each other so you can get an idea of what your costs would be if you move to another one. But they all measure loads differently. So it becomes very challenging to actually accurately measure prices. And it opens up the possibility for them to just be like, say, look, we're cheaper because we offer 100,000 loads and they offer 50,000. But the loads are different.
Man, you know a lot about this stuff. I was just thinking like, wow, I don't know any of that. I'm glad you do.
It just keeps coming up because it's, I don't know. We don't need to talk about it anymore though because no one really cares about map tiles.
Hey, loading. I can. This is a pinball map podcast. Like you've just hit the meat and potatoes of what we should be talking about. I was just impressed that you knew it. That's all. Huh. I'm over here asking about Wendy's surge pricing. So good for you.
Well, we have other news that I think is very exciting. Is we have, I think for the first time since like 2018 maybe, or 2019, something around there, we have new merch, beanies.
What's a beanie, Ryan?
A beanie is like a knitted cap that you wear on your head that goes over your ears and keeps you warm.
Yeah, it's interesting because back in the tundras of Michigan, you'd call it a toque.
What?
Yeah, I know. So close to Canada, it becomes a toque. Yeah. Beanie to me was always like a California thing.
Oh, really? I don't think I've ever heard toque. Maybe I should put that in the, you know, in the title so people, if anyone's searching toque, they know what that is. I don't know how to spell that though. T-U-K? Yeah.
I don't know how to spell it. It might be T-O-U-K. I don't know. I'm out of my depth here. These are great beanies. I'll say, like, even if there was no pinball map related anything to it, this is a comfortable thing to put on your head.
Yeah, it's the waffle knit style of a thermal shirt, but which is kind of unique. I don't see many beanies like that.
Yeah, I've gotten a compliment on it. The only compliment I've ever gotten on it, somebody said, "That looks really comfortable."
Yeah, there you go.
They were right. How do I get a beanie if I didn't have one?
You can go to pinballmap.com/store. And it comes in three colors, base colors. It's storm gray, storm black, and storm blue.
Why are they all storm?
No, they're not all storm, but the gray is storm.
What's the most popular color so far?
Gray is most popular. By gray. A fair amount.
Okay.
Oh, and to describe these, we put in the pinball map ball logo. So the ball designed by Drew Marshall back in 2008. That's on all our stickers and on the shirts and stuff and all over the site. It's just a little pink knitted ball logo. Knitted in the USA, knitted in Irvine, Orange County, California.
Great. It's exciting.
Yeah. And also we give a discount to our Patreon supporters too. I made a little discount code so they can get some for a discount. So if you want to support us on there, I mean, I don't really need to pitch that because we don't really need more supporters, I guess.
because costs are kept so low.
Right? Yeah, costs are kept low, although they're going to go up a little bit with the map tile hosting stuff in a minute, but it's still covered. It's still covered by the Patreon. We're very appreciative of all the Patreon support.
What if somebody really wanted to donate money to the cause and you were to say, like, hold on to that money because we don't need it right now? What would you prefer that they do with that money in honor of the pinball map?
Well, that's come up recently. And he gave a big old $250 donation to the Oregon Humane Society on our behalf.
That's nice.
Yeah, we said something animal. He asked, and we said something animal related. Don't you remember this?
Yeah, I do. I was fishing for something funny. Oh, like buy yourself a coffee, that kind of thing. Like yeah, self-care.
Instead of buying us a coffee, buy yourself a coffee.
Please. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Please, perk up. Do something nice for yourself. It's a hard life.
Yeah.
And it's almost over, so... get yourself a nice cup of coffee.
There's a lot of joys and pleasures that could be had in the world, and it's good to appreciate those, take advantage of them when you can, be aware of them when you can. You know, I've said stuff before that has made people laugh where I'm like, you know, the best part of my day is walking to get a burrito.
And I like it.
Yeah, I'm just like, oh, I just take a nice stroll to a food truck and walk back. There's no one bothering me. I'm in a nice neighborhood. I have this sense of freedom when I'm walking where I could take shortcuts. No one's honking behind me or anything like that. It's a pleasant experience.
You know, the best part of my day is the bus ride downtown to go to work. In the morning, it's all commuters and it's really quiet. No one's talking. Everyone's just kind of looking forward because they're so tired. And there's just this like unity to the whole thing that I really like. Mm. And I like people going to their jobs. It's a very peaceful time.
I could see that. Do you see people like playing gambling games on their phones or anything?
Yeah,
like that?
I definitely am a creep on the phone. Like I'll definitely look and see what people are doing. I'd say most people are texting other people, which is kind of nice. But there's definitely some some kingdom crasher or
yeah
to rescue the king or whatever.
Yeah, I notice in LA when I take the bus, it's a lot of people are either reading the Bible or playing like, yeah, Kingdom Crush type games.
Reading the Bible? Really?
Yeah, I see that a lot. I don't know.
Huh. That's great.
as long as they don't get car sick, that's great.
Sure, yeah. Ring, 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 ring.
Oh, look, I'm not going to answer that. I'm going to let that go to voicemail, actually. That was a phone call. But now I'm going to check my voicemail. I just didn't want to get it live. Let's see who it is.
Okay, check it out.
Wednesday, April 24th, 2024 at 4:21 p.m.
Hey, Ryan. It's Scott again from our podcast. This time I am coming to you from the Sandy Hut on beautiful Sandy Boulevard in Portland, Oregon. The machines here, we have Deadpool and Theater of Magic, fortunately located right underneath the speakers that play, you know, adult contemporary right now, which I'm into. Hopefully that isn't too big of a distraction from this scene report. I'm in a similar situation I was last time we talked. I'm here. I don't really want to drink anything, but I gotta say at the Sandy Hut, it's even more of a eyebrow-raising experience to come in here and not order something, right? Like, I can't just come in here and play Theater of Magic. So I have relented. It's a beautiful spring day here, and I am enjoying a Tecate with lime and playing Theater of Magic, which is actually one of my favorite games. think it's kind of got a bad reputation. It's like some people don't like it, thinking about Elijah specifically. I've heard that it's kind of a boring game. Well, guess what? It's not boring to me. Love the theme. Love just shooting that little loop over and over again. I like the bravado of the announcer. It all just kind of works for me. And I was thinking how... This is like a tangent. Sorry about that. When I was growing up, and I think when you were growing up too... Two middle-aged guys here. The nerdy kids were into Star Wars and things like that. And nowadays, you know, everyone's kind of into that, right? Like, you might not be into it, but you're at least aware of Star Wars and Marvel and all that. So it's hard to tell what nerdy even means. And I was thinking earlier today how, because I was anticipating playing Theater of Magic, how the real the real identification of nerds for people of our age was maybe the kids that were into magic. I'm not saying like super into it, but at least like impressed with card tricks and sleight of hand, and maybe even had aspirations to do some of that stuff on their own. That was definitely me. I can't do any card tricks or anything, but I'm always very impressed by it. It's a weird crossover with that crowd and I think the pickup artist community, which actually kind of makes a lot of sense. Anyway, Sandy Hutt playing Theater of Magic. If you've never been to, you and I have been to Sandy Hutt, I'm sure. This is one of those like Portland institutions, pretty centrally located. It's been here forever. Interesting shape of a building. Most famous, I think, because Quentin Tarantino was here once drinking. So everybody kind of mobbed the Sandy Hutt. Otherwise, it's just, you know, your pretty standard beer in a bottle kind of bar. I'm into it. Let's see, what else? So there's other thing I learned here. I've seen people come in and play video slots and not get ID'd. So that kind of makes me wonder if I could have just rolled in here. Oh, not ID'd and not drinking, I should say. Actually, I don't want to out Sandy Hutt as a violator of crime. They may have been ID'd, and I just didn't witness it. But one thing's for sure, they're not drinking. Well, it's like, am I allowed to just get ID'd and play pinball and not drink? I don't know. People, if anyone is listening to this podcast, it's got to be a really frustrating line of thought that you hear me, like, fumble through, because it's a simple answer, I'm sure, to the question of, can you just walk into a bar and start playing pinball without ordering a drink? There is an easy answer to this. I'm just too, I don't know, lazy to actually look it up on my own. So here I am playing Theater of Magic instead. Yeah, I don't know, pretty quiet place to be on a weekday. It's going pretty well. How are you doing? Talk to you soon. Love you. Bye.
Oh, thanks for calling me there, Scott.
Yeah, that's my pleasure. I think it's fun. Yeah, awkward though to be like talking on the phone in one of these places. Mm-hmm. But you know, relatively fun. Do you like Theater of Magic?
Yeah, totally. I think it's a lot of fun.
Okay, good.
I never really see it on. Actually, there's one near me at a bar, but I haven't been to it. But I haven't played it in many, many years. But I always thought it was a real fun game. I mean, I don't know. I hear you that Elijah's complained about it before, but yeah.
I'm not very good at pinball, so I feel like Theater of Magic is one of those games where you can play for a while. You know?
Yeah, I think it just gets a. Sometimes people look at games just from a competitive perspective, and they're like, "That's not fun because you just hit the left ramp over and over," or something like that. But you don't have to play by only hitting the left ramp, and you don't only have to play competitively. So there is a lot more to the game if you don't focus on a single exploit.
Honestly, I think my favorite part about playing pinball is getting in the pinball stance. So like the longer I can stay in that stance, the more fun I have. Is that like yoga? Is that what yoga feels like? I just really enjoy it.
Are you like do you have one foot in front of the other?
Yeah, I definitely, I have a very deep stance, which is not cool. I get it. Like I take up a lot of space. And I have one foot up And you know, I'm a kicker, not a like violent kicker, but I will move the leg,
mm-hmm.
If I need to. And also, you know, move it side to side with my arms, but I'm off balance kind of when I'm doing that. Anyway, I just like the position. That's all.
Yeah. I think it's, you know, sometimes in crowded places or in tournaments or something, I feel self-conscious about going into the position, my ideal position that mm-hmm. I feel is the best for me. And, 'cause we're both pretty tall. And sometimes it helps for me to lower myself a bit so I'm not looming too far over the play field, but I'm kind of at a lower angle looking up from the flippers. And that requires my legs being far back. I don't know. It just, and me being low, I mean, it's a little goofy or something like that. It takes up a lot of space. So I feel like I'm not always able to get into the stance I want, but when you can, when you got the space and the freedom to do it, it's really nice.
Any new pinball map features you want to tell me about, Ryan?
I do, yeah. The feature that we added since the last podcast was individual machine RSS, where you can now subscribe to a single machine like Jaws or the new ABBA machine by Pinball Brothers that I don't think it's on location yet, but if you want to see where those start emerging at locations, you can subscribe to that ABBA machine RSS feed. And we actually got a donation for that one too by Ywin. That was like a bounty to do that, and we did it.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, and it is a niche thing. RSS in itself is niche, and there's probably not too much interest in this, but you know, we have something like 1400 machines in the database. And so we just basically added 1400 RSS feeds to the site. We have a blog post about it. That's the best way to read about it, actually. And I use it. I subscribe to Slugfest, the 1952 Williams game, because there is a bat game from 1991, which we don't include on the site. And sometimes people add the 1952 Williams game to locations, and then they leave the comment that says, this is actually the bat game. Did I say all this in the last episode? I feel like I'm repeating myself.
It's worth it. I know bat games is a recurring issue on this website. It's something worth talking about.
Yeah, we should have like bat check segment or something every month.
How many bat games are on the site? A couple things on this topic. The 91 version, I think they have it at Neptune in Seattle. I think it's called Neptune. It's on that street by Shorty's.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really fun. Like, I know it doesn't belong on the map, but you actually play the game, and when you win real baseball cards. How cool is that? Yeah, it's like loaded up with baseball cards, and if you score enough points, you just get like a ton of baseball cards. From the 80s.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah, it does feel kind of cool to walk out with cards.
Mm-hmm.
But hey, it doesn't belong on the site. Semi-related, I haven't actually been playing a ton of pinball recently, but something I have been playing a lot of, ice cold beer. Have you ever played ice cold beer?
No, actually I've only watched you play it and in Chicago, and then I've watched other people play it. I've never played it myself. It looks cool.
So there's a few in Portland, and they're all in really bad spots. Like, there's one at my father's place, but it's literally in a hallway, and you have to, like, take up space in a hallway that's an active hallway, so people are always walking by you. Anyway, I've just been really taken by ice cold beer. I like the little song that they play. I like trying to raise it up into the air. I like the theming of the whole thing. I know it doesn't belong on the website, but part of me does wonder, like, where are all the ice cold beers in town? You know, I had to find them the old fashioned way, like word of mouth.
We're not helping you there, unfortunately.
It's fine. I think we have to draw the line, right?
Do you think ice cold beer could work as a video game, or is there one?
Oh, that's a great question. Oh, wait. You mean like literally if you made a video game out of it?
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I was thinking, you know, that Playdate thing that they made in Portland?
Mm-hmm.
I bet it would be really good on that. And probably not super hard to make if you're good at computer programming.
It's a two-dimensional game, basically, right? And
yeah,
it just seems kind of simple in a way. It seems like it would translate well. You should try that. Try to make it.
Yeah, I guess.
You're talented.
I used to be a computer programmer. I can't get into it on this podcast right now. I'm too vulnerable. Ryan.
What?
You're more active in the pinball community than me. You actually go to weekly events, right?
I go to bi-weekly events, and that's basically sometimes the only time I play. But so wow. I'm maybe not too more active than you are.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, what's your point?
Well, my point is, I don't know what the point is. What I was going to try to say is like LA has a pretty active pinball community, not unlike Portland. You talked to anybody about that recently?
Incidentally, yes. I talked with Corey about running the LA Pinball League and Bells and Chimes LA. Let's hear from Corey herself.
Let's hear from Corey.
So I'm here with Corey Casella, the person who runs LA Pinball League.
The co-director.
Co-director, co-runs it, co-director, and Los Angeles Bells and Chimes.
Co-director
of that one too?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
I don't want to take any full responsibility.
Okay.
Just the glory.
So, tell me about the LA Pinball League. Like, how long has it been going on?
Okay, so the LA Pinball League, we're right about to start our 54th season,
wow,
which is huge.
Yeah.
I have been a part of the league for 7 years.
Wow.
And I honestly have no idea what season I started in.
Yeah.
And I've been the co-director for the last 5 years.
Oh, okay.
So I believe that the league started before 82 with Pins and Needles, mm-hmm, in Los Angeles, yeah, but I'm not sure the exact history,
yeah,
of when it started and how long it was running and when it became a league at 82.
How long are your seasons?
It depends. The other co-director, Jim, uh-huh, we've already mapped out the entire year for this year, uh-huh, but we both have really chaotic schedules, so we'll sit down and be like, okay, can we do a short season? Do we need to do a short season, or do we have time to do a long season?
Oh, really?
And we try to alternate it, but our first season of this year was 6 weeks,
mm-hmm,
and then this upcoming season that's about to start in a few weeks, that is also going to be a 6-week season with finals on the 7th week. But every time we start a new season, we make sure to have a bunch of tournaments beforehand just,
oh, yeah,
to kind of get people excited and to drum, uh-huh, up interest. So we had our Split Flipper tournament on Tuesday night, which is always casual, uh-huh, and really fun. People really love that format.
And these are like no commitment too. Like you don't,
yes,
have to join the league, but...
No, yeah, and it's really like a great... We call it like our mixer series, basically, because it's kind of like... When you go to college and they have an ice cream social and everybody starts to get to know each other and then they're, mm-hmm, like, oh, I'm having fun. I want to come back. So, mm-hmm, this is our ice,
yeah,
cream social,
nice,
of pinball events.
Yeah.
So we usually will do one completely casual tournament, whether it's a split flipper or a pin golf.
Yeah.
Sometimes we do a vote. Sometimes it's, you know, whatever,
uh-huh,
Jim and I feel is kind of the best format for the season.
Mm-hmm.
And then we recently introduced women's tournaments at the LA Pinball League, which is really exciting. So we'll have this upcoming Tuesday, we're going to have a women's tournament, which is IFPA sanctioned.
Mm.
And then it's a collaboration with the Los Angeles Bells and Chimes.
Oh.
So it's kind of really a great way for us to get double exposure.
Yeah.
And also Los Angeles is so big.
Yeah.
Like geography wise.
Yeah.
That we have a lot of women that want to play but can't commit to one location or can,
mm-hmm,
commit to one and not the other. So this is a good way for us to kind of, our hope and goal is to travel around the city,
no,
and get,
really,
as many women interested, mm-hmm, at as many venues as we can.
What's your criteria for a venue that you would run it at?
Really, there isn't too strong of a criteria. It's just about scheduling is a huge issue right now, and this is, I feel like we're very fortunate to have this issue, but right now the pinball scene in Los Angeles is so robust that there is a league or a tournament every night of the week at every venue. So, you know, when we were trying to map out this first season of the Los Angeles Bells and Chimes, we were like, where can we even have it where there isn't something already going on and it doesn't conflict with something we already have in our schedule? So that's really our criteria for venue.
But and it has to be a place with the X amount of machines minimum, probably, or something, right?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Exactly. I mean, there really isn't a situation where there wouldn't be enough machines, I think, in all of the venues that we have available to us in Los Angeles. But so we'll always do our casual tournament, and now we're doing a women's tournament before every season, and then we do our main mixer tournament, which is IFPA sanctioned, and that's the week before a league starts. So that's kind of just to get everybody really excited, really riled up, and ready to come back and start a league.
I like the idea of dynamic lengths for your seasons, because sometimes people be like, sure, I could do a 6-week season, no problem, but I can't do like a 12-week one. And you know,
well, the other really great thing about the Los Angeles Pinball League, and I have nothing but positive things to say about it, so you can stop me if I'm saying too many great things, but the bar 82 really supports us and the growth of the league. So our events never cost a dollar to even enter. So the bar will pay all of the IFPA fees. That's for tournaments, that's for leagues, that's for women's tournaments as well. And the entry to every tournament is free. So there's no cash prizes being awarded. It is strictly fun. You're paying coin drop only, and then we go a little crazy with our trophies. We always have really fun trophies that are kind of on theme with whatever season we have. So I can't take credit for the trophies. That's all Jim. He gets really excited in the trophy shop.
I mean, it's a lot of work to make trophies for all these.
Well, we use a trophy distributor, but he is the one who will go in and he'll come out and he'll be like, I found the best theme for our trophies.
Nice.
And it's always something really funny. Like last summer we did a, we didn't want to have a league through the summer since people are always traveling. So we did a summer series where it was just every week was a different format. Tournament. And so he found all of these trophies that were summer themed. Like one was like a barbecue griddle. So it's kind of like just really all about us having fun, and and I think people do come to our league for the trophies, if I'm being honest.
Nice.
That's kind of what drew me in. I was like, I want a trophy.
Do you give them, who gets them, first through third, or just first, or what?
Yeah, so we do first, second, and third place gets a trophy. When we do split flipper, we make sure that there's two trophies for each place. So you and your partner both come home with a trophy. And this past Tuesday night, we had a split flipper tournament. And for the first time ever, we got trophies that were awards for best team name. And people got really excited about that. So we always have really funny team names. Like everybody participates, which is great. And the winner of that trophy was Two Girls, One Scoop.
That's pretty good.
It was, yeah, it was pretty good. I was glad that they, I was glad they won.
Who voted on those?
It was everybody that showed up as a participant got to do like a round of applause vote situation, like a clap-a-meter, whatever.
Nice.
And so that was, I think, the clear winner. Although we had some really great team names. There was one couple that were Fellowship of the Pin. And the team that came in second place was Pinky and the Drain, 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 Drain. I don't know how many drains. So everybody gets really into it, and it's a really fun time, and it's just like a really great way to get people excited about what all of the events are coming up.
Yeah. What about Danny B? Does he support you there?
Danny B is the best. I mean, Danny is one of my favorite people in Los Angeles. I could talk about Danny B all day long, but he's incredible and he supports the league. We started doing a really fun thing before every league night where we do the Danny B surf report. So he'll come up and we give him the megaphone and he will let us know like, oh, the drop targets on skateball aren't working, or you know, if you, this might not work, but you can still play it. And that's our surf report every week. And so funny. It's really fun. And everybody loves Danny B. So.
Have you ever seen Back to the Beach?
Is that with Annette Funicello? Yeah. And, the Big Kahuna? Is that one? Okay,
They have a really good surf report guy there.
Okay.
Has, like, multiple cameras in front of him that are all showing the beaches in Malibu.
Uh-huh.
And, I don't know.
I'll need to revisit it. It's been a while, but that's our Danny B, I guess. Yeah, so.
So, tell me a little bit about the new Bells and Chimes.
Okay, so the new Bells and Chimes, we're really excited. There's never been a Bells and Chimes in Los Angeles before.
Yeah.
And really, up until very recently, we haven't had women's tournaments in Los Angeles before. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of one of those situations where I wanted it and then started working on it. I ran it by the bar. Are you cool if we do some women's tournaments?
Yeah.
And they totally supported it. And now it just kind of feels great that there's just so much more exposure for women in this sport, hobby, whatever you want to call it. I think it's a sport. when I first started playing pinball, which was like 7 years ago, I'd never played before.
Mm-hmm.
And I found 82 kind of by chance with a friend of mine. And she really wanted to compete and wasn't sure. So she really wanted to compete, but didn't want to do it alone. And I'm one of those people who will do anything. I'm like a yes girl. So I said, I'll do it with you. And I'd never played pinball before. Wow. And that's how we found the LA Pinball League at 82. And at the time, there were barely any women playing. It was us, and it was, you know, Cece and a few other, a handful of other women.
Uh-huh.
And in the last, I want to say 5 years, I've just seen so many more women, girls, non-binary, everybody coming into this hobby, and it's really great. It's really inspiring. And I think if we're not promoting it, then it's not going to grow, because it's really easy for someone to feel discouraged when they're surrounded by people that aren't necessarily like them.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, we have such a rich community of excellent pinball players. So it's been my goal and my partner Jim's goal to constantly, you know, like, get excited about new players and encourage them to keep coming, keep showing up. And it's just, like, really great to see that we have so many more women now. And even this league is just so much more than when I started playing.
So in not only Bells and Chimes, but LA Pinball League, like, there's a big range to, some people are brand new, some people are totally seasoned, and it, you know, you make it fun for all of them, basically, right?
I mean, we try. 82 is, I think, a really fun place to play, especially on a Tuesday night. It's more of a bar than a venue, where some of these other places are more of a pinball venue than a bar. So there's something for everybody, really. But when I found the LA Pinball League, it was about showing up, having fun, making friends, and was very casual. And that was something I was looking for. Everybody was having drinks. Everybody was friends with each other. And it kind of built this community, for me at least, where I didn't really know anybody when I moved to Los Angeles, and I attribute most of the friends I've made to finding this hobby.
And no money involved, that kind of changes the dynamic. Back then also, there was no IFPA points at the beginning too. That kind of perhaps changes the dynamic.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I know that when we made the decision to go IFPA sanctioned, we kind of went back and forth about it a lot, because it always has been a very casual league. But I really do think that we still have those casual vibes. Like, if you come on a Tuesday night, everybody's having a good time. And our league has grown so much. We get about, I want to say, our last season, we had almost 60 players that committed for all 6 weeks, which was amazing. And especially knowing that it is a commitment to keep coming back, that we had that many people who wanted to keep coming back. And I forgot to mention, when we were talking about the trophies, that we do have trophies for our B division as well. We really do get all skill levels, and I always joke that it's kind of a starter league in that sense, where people are showing up because they're drinking and having fun, and then as they get better, they're determined to make it into A Division and come home with a trophy, and it's kind of exciting to watch that.
Yeah, it gives you something to work toward, and, you know, if it's an encouraging environment, people will get better. I mean, everyone gets better when they compete and are getting tips from others and watching others. We focus sometimes on tech stuff on this podcast.
Okay.
How do you communicate with members?
In
like what software or platform do you use?
Oh, okay. So for us, the LA Pinball League is really, we're on Instagram. That's kind of the way we communicate with people. I know that there is a very large group chat that I am not a part of.
Oh, interesting. I've
had many people ask, can I add you to this group chat? And my answer is no.
Oh,
I have so much on my plate. I like to keep it a little bit separate.
Yeah.
I think it's really easy to get fully consumed when you're running things and playing and things and then trying to have a social life outside of your work. So I know a lot of people are using that group chat to spread the word about different events that are happening throughout Los Angeles.
Mm.
And then we communicate everything with our league through Instagram, Instagram stories, Instagram posts. Jim runs the Instagram and he's really great at it. He'll create polls and we generate a lot of participation, I guess. That's not the word I'm looking for, but you know what I mean. So that's one way, and then I will cross post things on Facebook for the people that still use Facebook. That's pretty much the only thing I use Facebook for. But you know, the thing about the LA Pinball League is it's been running every Tuesday for so many years that if people don't know whether or not something's going on, they just show up on a Tuesday. And we always encourage people like, oh, we don't know the schedule yet, but keep coming on Tuesdays. and they do. And and the bar is really great too. Every time Jim and I have the schedule for the next season, we share it with the bar. They post it on their Instagram.
Oh, cool.
They have our calendar hanging up in the back of the pinball room. And like, I can't talk about how great the partnership is with 82 enough, because part of the reason we've been able to grow so much is because of the support that they've shown the league.
Cool. But Bells and Chimes, is that that's not at 82, right?
Bells and Chimes right now is not at 82. We do, we're about to have our second Bells and Chimes tournament at 82, but right now our home turf is Aero Lodge in West Covina.
Yeah.
It was someplace where we were able to find availability on a Thursday night. So we're right now doing every other Thursday alternating with the Ace League. So just like
That demonstrates how tough it could be to schedule it here.
Exactly. Yeah. It really was a struggle. And I had a lot of girls come up to me and they were like, we can't do Thursdays. Can you do a different day? But I think one of the really great things about the Los Angeles pinball community is we all don't want to step on each other's toes. So there is a number of like groups where we're all communicating with each other TDs, and there's channels on Discord, and we're sharing our calendar constantly because we don't ever want to steal attendance from somebody else. That's how you grow a community, is kind of by working together where everybody has like the greater good. And you know, if I'm hosting events the same night as one of the other competing bars in Los Angeles, I'm not going to get the attendance I want. They're not going to get the attendance they want. And then there's going to be bad blood, and there's no reason for that.
Cool. I don't think I have any more questions. I know you ordered food, so that's probably, we don't want to get cold.
It'll be fine.
Okay. Anything else you want to add?
No, I mean, I think that, you know, I try to make myself very accessible. If anybody has questions about the leagues, the tournaments, the community, they can always reach out to me. I'm pretty good about responding about stuff like that. And, you know, Jim and I are working really hard to keep the LA Pinball League going strong at 82. And I would just say, if anybody's curious about whether or not a pinball league is something they want to be a part of, it's a great way to figure it out, because it's low commitment, no cost to you, and it's a really fun way to make friends. So
yeah, for sure. All right, thank you, Corey.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay,
thank you, Corey.
Wow. Yeah. That's interesting. That's an interesting journey.
Yeah, I mean, I play. It's funny because you play against people in league. You're matched up with different people every week, but then sometimes you end up like locked in with them multiple weeks in a row. And so sometimes I'm locked up against Corey for weeks at a time, and then we diverge. But Corey's cool.
Corey aside, like, how do you approach small talk with these people? Like, do you feel compelled to like carry on a conversation, or do you just stand next to each other while you play?
It all depends on the people. I say we play in groups of four, and out of the three people I play against, there's usually maybe one that's on the quieter end, and the other two are more outgoing, and mm-hmm. I will engage with them more. We just chat. We talk about work sometimes. We talk about definitely do small chat. I always struggle because people ask me about the rules sometimes. Not that they expect I know everything, mm-hmm. but they think they see me do something, and then they're like, "What'd you do right there? You hit that, and then you activated." And I'm like, "I don't know what I did right there." And I
always... just shoot at the thing that's flashing.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
yeah.
That's generally the move.
Yeah, I know how to light the locks and then shoot the flashing items, and that's what I was going for right there. And I don't generally know the names of the shots. I could say the left ramp, but if that left ramp has a name, I don't know the name of it. So I feel like I'm always disappointing people because I don't know how to answer their questions very well.
What's that thing called where, as the ball's coming down to the flipper, you flip the flipper up so that as the flipper goes down, the ball lands on it and is like stopped, basically. Right. What is that?
And it's the one where you stop it with the flipper in the up position, or you kind of
drop the
flipper with the ball?
You drop the flipper with the ball and it slows the ball down and it just kind of sticks to the flipper.
I don't know. That's one I've looked up a bunch and now I forget. It's like dead drop or something like that.
Is that dead? I thought dead drop is when you just don't do anything and it just hits the flipper and moves.
I think
around.
That's dead flip.
But you don't actually flip for that one. Why is it? Anyway, I think the Wedgehead podcast covers all this. But anyway, the reason I'm bringing it up is that's the only move I can do like with like consistency. And if I do that a bunch of times, I consider it a good game. Like that,
yeah, I think it's a really smooth move to do.
It's so satisfying.
Yeah.
Okay.
I remember great. I was at the Shorties tournament in whatever 2008 or something like that, and somebody from like Denmark complimented me on my use of that maneuver, and I still remember it. I was like, man, you came here from Denmark. I'm sure you're good, and you just complimented me on that little drop thing that I probably overdo, but it's just like an easy way to, I mean, not easy, but it's a consistent way to slow the ball down.
It doesn't take much. I think like a good way to go about in this world, if you see something nice, call it out. Just say something nice. Yeah. It doesn't, you know, it's free. As long as you actually mean it, I think mm-hmm. it goes a long way with people.
We're all, you know, especially in competitive pinball too, you know, we're all getting frustrated. People are feeling, I mean, basically I think the predominant feeling when you play competitive pinball is you're disappointed in your own performance over and over and over and over. So if you're getting a nice compliment from somebody, I think it can give them a boost.
Here's you're right. You're right. we should move on. But here, I just had an idea. I want to put it out there. You know what pinball places should really invest in? An area that's just like comfy seating, mm-hmm. facing the machines to like, you know, decompress between matches. Now, yeah. I'm not an operator. I don't have absolutely no idea what I'm talking about owning a mm-hmm. bar. I'm sure this is a lot of real estate that it takes up, so people mm-hmm. don't want to have space like that. But how cool would that be to like fall into a lounger after you're frustrated and just like relax there for a sec?
Yeah.
That sounds nice. Sounds nice to me.
It does sound nice. I mean, and you know, put a table in front of it and people could put their drinks on there. I mean, it's useful real estate, I think.
All right. What else has happened with the pinball map? I know there's at least one more big thing, right?
One more big thing. So this one, as the background, is everyone knows IPDB, the Internet Pinball Database. A lot of people use it. I can't vouch for how many people like it, but it definitely has some good information on there. I mean, I use it primarily for what year did this game come out and is there a picture that shows me what the game looks like? And, you know, the problem is that IPDB hasn't been updating new machines. They haven't, it's supposed to be a all-encompassing database containing every machine that's been made, and there hasn't been a machine since 2022 in it. But it's kind of done, it seems like, or its usefulness is diminishing as all these games are not being added to it. So on the website and on the app, every time we show a machine, we link to a couple of the resources. We link to Pin Tips, which is a way to get some quick tips, and we link to IPDB, and now we've since removed all those IPDB links and replaced them with Kineticist links. Colin at Kineticist has put a lot of work into the machine pages, and I don't know, I think they're pretty great. They, of course, they link to IPDB, they link to Pinside, they have, you could network out from there to the other resources that are out there that are good. But you know, it contains all the base information you need to know, who designed it, when it was made, other tidbits about that, as well as links to gameplay videos and tutorials and other things like that. So it's there. Each one is a really nice resource, and you know, there's over 1,000 on there. So it ends up being a more useful link to link to than IPDB, which, you know, in addition to being incomplete, just there's not always that much like directly useful information on IPDB on like how to play a machine and things like that. So I think, we replaced them all with Kineticist links.
Is Colin entering all that stuff by hand? What is this?
Colin started with OPDB, populated the database, and then he just, you know, has his own GUI database where he starts punching in different links. And yeah, I think he goes nuts and has been adding thousands and thousands of links to videos and things like that manually, and pictures and all this stuff. Like, I feel like I can imagine it's been an enormous amount of work.
Do you think he's watching like TV shows in the background? Like, what do you think he's doing?
I would assume he's listening to pinball podcasts.
You think so?
Yeah,
because he's listening to pinball. Okay.
I mean, because he runs the This Week in Pinball and is always listening for rumors and things like that and news. And I think the only way to stay on top of that is to listen to a lot of podcasts, is my guess.
All right.
I don't know. Colin, if you're listening to this, what are you doing when you're updating your database?
Yeah, come on, Colin. It's not pinball podcasts, is it? It's like old episodes of Little House on the Prairie. It's Fuller House. Mm. Give me something.
We'll see who's right. Ring, ring.
Oh, hang on a second. That's my ringtone. Oh, geez. It's a call from you.
Ooh. Yikes.
Yeah. Wait, how is this happening? You're calling me and I'm talking to you? Oh, too late. It's gone to voicemail.
Yeah.
Hang on just one sec. Let me check this. What is it? 411? No. Star 4? Let's see. Okay. Yep. There we go. It's calling in.
Friday, March 22nd, 2024, at 7:46 p.m.
Hey, Scott. It's Ryan. Calling from Revenge of in L.A. Comics and Pinball. Playing James Bond right now. It's kind of hard to play while talking on the phone because my head is crooked in a weird way. Oh, I just met Blofeld. Little scene report about Renjav. Place is very, very cool. It's a comic shop with 26 pinball machines. The room I'm in is made to look like a outpost on an unearthly world. The folks that own this place work in the entertainment industry doing set designs and other things like that, so it's very cool. I'm the only person in this bank of machines right now. There's other people behind me playing tabletop games. I want to play the Pulp Fiction, which they just got. I live about 5 minutes from here walking, so this is the spot I come to most often. Very fortunate to have it around. It was actually featured a couple weeks ago in some Stern promotional video after they were celebrating their 2-year anniversary here. Whenever you visit, we should come here. I don't really know much about comics, but they seem to have a ton of them here. And they also have really good cookies. So, that's about it. I like to stop in here, play a few games. I picked up a lotto ticket, and then on the way back, I decided to hop in here for a few games on a Friday night. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Wow. So you're out there recording too, huh?
Yeah, I got to. I got to do the scene reports. I feel like we need to be in the field, reporting in on what we're seeing out there in the world.
Speaking of which, if anyone listening to this would like to send us their own scene report, I mean, I'd love to hear it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
There's 10,000 plus locations out there. So what place do you like?
What place do you like? What machines are there? Like, how does it feel to be in the place? Like, really give us a sense of space, you know?
Yeah.
Like, space and your own feelings within that space.
Yeah. What are you worried about when you're there? What are you happy about when you're there? What are some of the struggles you have?
Do you feel present there when you're playing, or the moment you walk in, do you think, I got a half an hour and I got $3 in quarters, and you're already sort of out the door, you know, mentally? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Let us know.
Also, what should be like a time limit? 4 minutes or something like that?
I'm not interested in putting a time limit on any of this. Honestly. If you've got something to say, I mean, there's no guarantee it'll all end up on the podcast, but
that's true.
I will personally listen to it. I'd say here's how to approach this. You've got a voice memo app on your phone. Just turn that on.
Mm-hmm.
Just record a voice memo and then share it with us via email. Easy.
Yeah. admin@pinballmap.com. And yeah, everyone will think you're just talking to someone on the phone. It doesn't need to be awkward.
Yeah, and if you're nervous about it, just laugh every once in a while, like pretending somebody on the other end said something hilarious or comforting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Ryan, we should wrap this up, but any words of wisdom before we go? Like anything people should be meditating on for the next month or however long it'll take to get to episode 10?
No, I don't have any wisdom. What about you?
Wisdom. No, I don't think so. I mean, we're starting to get into the warmer months, which naturally brings everybody back outside, right?
Yeah.
I've found that it's kind of nice to just sit somewhere and just stare into the distance a little bit sometimes.
Ooh.
Maybe do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Just like I was sitting on my porch the other day and people were just walking by. And I thought to myself, there's a whole world out there.
And did you then get up and just march out there?
No, I think I went to the movies after. I went inside a dark room and watched a movie. Okay, Ryan, nice to talk to you again. Maybe I'll see you again in a month.
You too. Let me know if you're coming down to visit anytime. I'm always here.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right.
See you later.
See
Bye.
Ya. Bye.